Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game-related topics. On tonight's show, we'll be covering what we've been playing, the news, and for our main topic, we're going to touch on remakes or second editions or reskins of games. Good, bad, ugly, what we think of them, some good examples, some good versions.
Yeah.
All of that. It's popular in board gaming right now to redo games that were older and to reskin them.
Yeah. And we talked about some of them in other conversations.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to bring some of those up here as well.
For sure. Okay, let's get into what we've been playing.
Yeah.
Shay, did you play anything?
I did. I did play some things. So I played, finally got to play Planet Unknown.
Yes.
Which is a game you guys had talked about last summer, I think, that you played at the lake that I never got a chance to try yet. But you said I'd really like it. And so we played it.
Yeah, this one is a Tetris-style game.
Yeah, where you're trying to... Oh, how to describe it? Fill up a planet. You're collecting tiles, yeah. And you're trying to fill the planet up with different terrain. So there's ones with, like, water on it, there's grass, there's, I don't know if it's ore, or like there's black and gray, and I'm not sure which one those are supposed to be.
There's six colors, five match the tracks, and one is a wild.
Yeah, yellow's wild.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting way of picking the tiles as well. There's this board in the middle, or not even board, there's this tray in the middle
that has a Lazy Susan
that has all of these tiles in them, and there's an inside circle and an outside circle. And when when it's your turn, you spin the Lazy Susan and pick which tile you want. Out of either of those two options, you have a little arrow that points at them. So out of either of those two options, you pick one. And then whatever, for the other people, whichever one their arrow is pointing at, they choose from one of those two and they have to pick one. So they're a little limited. Like, you might get something you like, you might get something you don't, and you just got to live with it and find a place for it.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at getting what I don't want.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to get what you don't want. And yeah, when you get the terrain, you move up on tracks. And as you move up on tracks, you get bonuses or end game victory points. There's also going to be things like meteors that come out, which can make you lose points at the end of the game. So you want to try and get rid of them with some rovers that you have that move around the map. As well as some like water pumps that you can collect as long as you don't put tiles on top of them first. And yeah, you go around and there's... like I said, the tracks give you points, but at the end of the game, every completed row and column gives you points.
Yes.
More points for the bigger size, less points for the smaller. And if any of them have an empty spot on them or have a meteor on them, they don't score you points at all. So that's why you want to try and be really strategic with what you're doing. There are individual tokens you can get, mainly by moving up the green track. You get little individual ones that you can fill up the spaces with.
And by that you mean one by ones.
Yeah. Single pieces, because it's a grid system. I did not win this. Jordan won this, but it was really fun to play. I was pretty pleased. I only had two open spaces left. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is one that we played a bunch at the lake last summer, and it's one that I backed the most recent Kickstarter to get the expansion stuff and some of the Kickstarter stuff from the first campaign. And there's asymmetric corporations and boards you can play that add to the game. We didn't get into any of that, and I'll have to show you that at some point. And all of it just makes it a little bit more challenging, a little bit more thinky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really solid game, Planet Unknown. Just came back in print, the retail edition, and I saw over Christmas people getting it.
Yeah.
We also played Spots.
Yes, we did.
This is a dice rolling, dice placement game where you have Dalmatian dogs that you're putting black and white dice on. Your goal is to fill up six cards. First person to do that wins the game. Your turn starts with you doing one of six tricks, and they all have different names, and there's a whole stack of them. I think I've only ever played the base so far. Looking to get into some of those other ones. There's two that are in every game, but then there's the other four are going to rotate. Really fun, push your luck game. I've had crazy luck in this game and have won all three games I've ever played, but it's fun. Like it's asked nothing of you and really simple to learn and simple to play, but a great time.
Yeah. I also got to play Search for Lost Species, which I think
Yes.
we talked about when Jordan got it, but because you had played it before,
Yeah.
but I hadn't. So this is the successor to Search for the Lost Planet.
Planet X.
Planet X, Search for Planet X, right. The Planet Unknown. Yep, Search for Planet X. Getting all confused over here. Well, Search for Planet X was you were looking for a planet in the sky and using logic rolls to determine where certain objects were in relation to it, and that's how you could figure out where Planet X was. Here you have a map in front of you, like a board, and you are trying to figure out where the species that you're looking for is, again by using logic rolls. It plays a similar way, using the logic rolls to determine where other animals are. There are differences in this game. For one, instead of just having a circular board that it also acts as your timer, this is a map where you're moving a character around on. And depending on where you move, that decides which areas you're looking at
Yep.
and where you can get clues from. And the timer track is around the edge of the board. What's interesting in this one is that in the fir in Search for Planet X, you had tokens that you could go and say, "What is here?" And you had two of those tokens. You could only use them each once, and that was it. They were out. In this game, there are similar tokens. There's the town token and the camera token. And the camera token will tell you exactly what's there, but you get it back. It's just
Eventually.
eventually. The timer track goes around, and when it passes a certain spot, you get that timer token back. Same thing with the town token. You put that out, and when you go around a certain spot on the timer track, that's when the camera or the town token comes back. The town is how you get those basically the conventions, I
The
think is what they're called,
research.
the researched ones. So the town is where you go and you say, "I want to look at one of these," and that shows up. And then they have the little conference areas as well. Again, when the timer track goes around those, just like they did in Search for Planet X. With this game, definitely it was a little bit harder to get the research. In the original game, when you were researching, it only cost one to research. You couldn't do it back to back, but it only cost one to do it, and you could just do it however you wanted, right?
Yep.
And you could do it every other turn. In this one, because you have to wait till you get your token back, it takes a lot longer to get to do the research. Plus, I think it definitely costs a little more time than the original one did, which is nice because you don't it makes it a little harder. That being said, you and Jordan were just like, you guys guessed it on the same turn, and I was nowhere near knowing where it was, so I definitely did something wrong. And for some reason, these two games, I am good at deduction games. I like logic rules. These two games are stumping me. I haven't won them once. Like, I am a little shocked by that, honestly. I want to almost want to take it home and practice it, you know?
I would say this is fine-tuning what Planet X brought.
Definitely, yeah.
We've only played on the basic map so far, where it's sort of I'm gonna say a dumbbell, where there's two clumps and then a couple of rows to each other. The other side is more planet shape, so it's rounder. So I think it might add a little bit more confusion as to where stuff is, because there's different rules set as to how the animals interact with each other off the start, and so once you find one of those, it helps to eliminate different spaces. Having played it once definitely helped, because I was in a very, very similar boat to where you were the last time when Jeff and
Okay,
Jordan were
so it
finding
does
it.
help to play it more than
Yeah.
once. There was definitely some times where I was like, "Man, I went through that whole space and I asked about one animal in these spaces, and that was not that useful because I already know that two of them can't have it."
Yeah.
So I know in three of these, sure, something can be here, but is that really useful, right?
Yeah.
So I think definitely playing again will be a little better.
Yeah, it's a
But I liked it. I really liked
solid
it.
deduction game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played another game called Sky Mines, foreshadowing. This is a reskin of a previous game. This previously was called Mombasa, which was a very poor theme. You basically are corporations ravaging Africa. Now you're on the moon,
Now
and
you're colonizing the moon. I remember talking about this
yeah,
game. It's
it's It doesn't have the same feel of Mombasa, right, okay, because you're not looking at Africa.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like the map isn't there. It's a little different. And just the way it's talking about stuff. It handles it better. It's still a fabulous game. Mombasa, the mechanically is wonderful, but it's really hard to play that theme when, uh-huh, when you know any history whatsoever.
Absolutely.
I really like the mechanics in Mombasa. This fine-tunes it, and there's actually a second side to the board, which changes it even more. I haven't played that. I got this on Boxing Day last year, and I finally got it played. So a year and a bit, so I'm doing well. 13 months. But yeah, we had a great time. Jordan loved it. Me, Jeff, and Norm had already played Mombasa, so we had an idea of what we were doing. I was able to pull off last place,
which, classic. You
know, I knew I could do it. Yep. Like it's work, but it's a classic Dave move, really. But if you've played Mombasa but didn't like the theme, get this one. It's great. The game still keeps those solid mechanics. It's so fun. In it, you played out cards depending on how many slots you have open. You start with three and then you can open up two more. And those cards are either resources or actions or scientists. And the scientists let you move up one track or another. And that's how you open up those other spots, is moving up those tracks. And as you spend your resources, they get flipped over. So there's this timing mechanic of, okay, I want to move up the research track. I need to have these goods. So if I flip them over too soon, I can't move up. So you want to do one action before the other. But then you're like, well, I want that card before somebody steals it. So there's a lot of timing in this that really plays a factor of how you play the game. And then you have two bonus tokens, which can go out and either buy you a scientist for the next round, or, you know, if you have the majority of one of the resources, you can get some bonuses for that round. There's a lot going on in this game, but a great, great time if you like Alexander Pfister and you like, I would say, a high, medium, low, heavy game. Yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
Anything else? I didn't play anything else.
That's
so
all I played.
You talked about spots. I played spots too. It was great.
Yeah. Well, for your birthday.
Yep.
Happy birthday, Shay.
Hey.
We played spots, Lost Species, and Planet Unknown on Friday.
So it was a good time.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get into the news.
So, first off, from Deep Print Games, they are releasing a game called Lumicora, where you are protecting coral reefs, and it sounds kind of cool because it's a 3D tile laying game.
Cool.
Yeah. I think this is a German publisher, possibly.
Who's the company again?
Deep Print Games.
Deep Print. I know the name.
Yeah.
I can't think of what they've done.
Yeah. Here's one that sounded interesting. Hegemonic Project Games. They did Hegemony something, something, something. I can't remember the rest of the name. Which I think got reasonably good reviews.
Yes. It's a heavy, long game.
Yeah. They are coming out with a new one called World Order. It's set in 2010, and you play as one of the four major economic powers in the world, trying to basically make alliances or military power to gain influence in the world. Yeah, so those of you who can't see, because this is the radio, so none of you can see, Dave's face is making the exact same face mine was when I read it, where I went, are you sure you want this to be a theme? Are you positive you want to play as the U.S., China, Russia, and I can't remember the other one, probably Britain.
UK, probably,
UK, yeah. Probably. You want to play as them fighting over the world in a time that is 14 years before this, right? Like, it's... to be fair, they say it takes, like, academic theory involved, and I've done a similar... Now, I wouldn't say a similar game. I've done a similar experiment in history class where you're given goals and then you try to, as countries, and then you try to, like, talk to each other and make deals to, you know, learn how World War II started, basically. But it's a little interesting to me, I'll be honest.
Well, hegemony is about class struggle as well, right? So,
well, hegemony is between the classes. Yeah.
It's you're guiding a class to see how they finish out. So it's if done right, these could be very interesting games, right? And everybody really likes Hegemony, and I haven't heard anybody bash it.
Yeah.
And it's a touchy subject.
It's an interesting idea, and I can see, like, the thing that's interests me about it is exactly like I said in history class when we did this, and we were given the goals. We kind of came out with, like, hey, you might not have started World War II if people did what you did, right? Yes. So it's kind of a similar idea. Like, you could play theoretically as, like, can we make this even? But it also is, like, you can become a military power that destroys the world, right? Which is a little like a questionable power fantasy in my brain. So it's interesting.
Yeah. So getting back to Deep Print Games, I was curious. They are a European company, and they get brought over a lot by Capstone. So their games are Corrosion, Renature,
right?
Juicy Fruit,
yeah.
Beer and Bread. So yeah,
yeah. So their new one's Lumicora, and that's coming out quarter one, I believe.
Okay.
On to another game, which is also a control game, but in a very different feeling. It's called Die Patin or Patin. I'm assuming it's pronounced with an accent, but I do not know. Where you're fighting for the control of a city as mobs controlled by a godmother of different animal species.
I think I saw something about this one.
Yeah. So you're mobs in a city and you're trying to gain control, but it is your animals, or at least your godmother is an animal, and you control, it's kind of worker placement area control. You have your henchmen and your godmother, and they take actions. The godmother can do bigger actions, but you have to lock it in before everybody else says theirs, so you can kind of get screwed. Or at least you have to try and make the best of that action. And this is a planning game. You want, because by at the end of each round, you want to have the majorities in a few different things, because you get points for each one that you have a majority in.
Okay.
So with poor planning, you can get locked out of this game pretty fast, it sounds like. But the art looks really cool. Like, the map looks really unique. And it's just kind of interesting. It sounds mean. It sounds like a mean game that I probably won't play. But it sounds interesting.
So it's sort of Everdell with the mob?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Everdell's not much area control. This is
pretty clearly area control. No, but what I mean is your anamorphic characters.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, you're animals in the mob. Yeah. War of the Ring card game expansion Fire and Swords was announced at Gen Con last year, and it is now scheduled for release in June.
Yes, so
now
is a release date. Second expansion.
Second expansion. It's going to add new paths and battlegrounds, new scenarios, and three new factions.
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews on the card game. We own War of the Ring, or Jordan owns War of the Ring.
Yeah.
We keep saying we're going to get it to the table and play
never
it.
Play it.
It's. Star Wars Rebellion is lightly based on it, and we play that, and we had a great time.
Yeah.
So it makes me want to try War of the Ring.
Fair enough.
Just to see if I can lead the poor, misunderstood Sauron forces to victory.
Right, yeah. Bit Axis and Allies type thing. and then, so I think Ares Games does them, and also from them is a really unique sounding game, and I'm gonna try and do it justice. It's called Viking Route.
Okay.
And this uses, you have your main boat in the center of the board, it sounds like, that is a compass. And you're using magnets, which act as like, because you're nicely done.
Sorry.
You're in a storm, and you're using magnets that represent, I think, elements or gods, basically, to control the compass to mark where your boat would be going. There's also card playing in relation to it, but I'm just really fascinated by the idea of using magnets to control a compass to basically steer a boat. So it sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Ares
Games, I don't think we have much from them. But they have put There's out
some really unique stuff.
They have put out some unique stuff that I've been very interested in. Like, actually, I guess we own Dungeonology from them.
Okay, yeah.
But when we were at Gen Con, we sat down and learned that one about the Brazilian police.
Oh,
and
yes. Oh, that's them.
Cassieros or something like that. I've almost bought it a couple of times off Board Game Bliss when I'm ordering, because it looks neat.
Yeah. Right?
And that sounds very cool, what you
just
described.
It sounds really neat, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't look super heavy, but it sounds really neat.
Yeah.
Next game announcements I have here leading into our main topic, they're all either they're all second editions of games. So first off, in honor of the 50th anniversary, and I looked over this to make sure they weren't saying 15th, 50th anniversary of Hotel, otherwise known as Hotel Tycoon, Ooba Games is releasing a retro version, a retro-themed new version of it, still featuring the 3D buildings that's in the original. I've not played this game, but it's coming out. I actually saw this one last week. It was announced, I think, 2 weeks ago, but it's kind of cool. Darrington Press is releasing a new edition of For the Queen, which is a storytelling game from Alex Roberts, originally published in 2019 from Evil Hat Productions. They're doing a reprinting of it. They're adding new art. The artists, I believe, are the same artists that worked on Queen by Midnight. There's two artists there. And the art looks really cool. And they're adding new prompt cards. It sounds like there's prompt cards that give you, like, rules and prompts for what to say or do. It looks really interesting. I might look into it to see if it's something, like, me and Jordan might play.
Yeah.
Similar vibe to Darrington Press's for the...
Oh, that one.
That one that I can't remember the name of. We've played. I should yell at Jordan and be like, what's this game called? It's the two-player one.
Okay,
But similar idea where it gives you prompts for what to say. Anyway, the art looks really cool. Looks awesome.
It's a two-player RPG, and I forget how you want one in it.
Which, the one I have? Yeah. The one we have, you decide on whether you're fighting to the death or till somebody switches.
Right. Yeah.
And you go through, and there are ways to, like, kill each other, basically. But at that point, you decide whether it's an actual, like, killing or somebody decided to switch sides or you just came to an agreement. It's a neat way that it works.
Yeah, it's theme.
Yeah, I like it. They are crowdfunding a new edition. I forgot to write down the company for this. Crowdfunding a second edition of Keystone North America. And they're also doing an expansion called Keystone North America Coastal. And this is going to feature new art, updated rules, and interestingly enough, lower player count. It was originally a 1-4 player game, and the new edition is going to have a lower player count, but they didn't say it's going to be 2-player, so I guess they're going to lower it to 3?
1-3?
I'm not sure. But yeah, so that's interesting. And actually, sorry, that's the end of my list. That's it. That's the news. We're done.
That is the news.
That is the end of the news. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to my show. But yeah, so that one was kind of interesting. They're doing lower player count.
For sure.
You are listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, and we're going to get into our main topic following off of those games I just talked about.
Yeah. Also, quick shout out to our sponsor, Amazing Stories.
Yeah, thank you guys very much.
Board games this Friday at Amazing Stories. Our topic will be dragons.
Dragons.
There's a good chance that a little-known game called Wormspan will be there.
Yep.
That may have shown up in the mail today.
Yeah, it literally just showed up as of recording. It just showed up. And because of that, we decided we're going to do some other dragon games. And I'm going to do my best to teach Wormspan, which is my game, on Friday. And Wormspan, again, plays into what we're talking about.
It
all kind of goes together. You see how we do this, guys?
Yeah.
We know what we're doing. We're 400 episodes in. We know what we're doing.
450
episodes in.
So we'll have Wormspan, Flamecraft, Res Arcana, and Clank there.
Yeah.
Or A-Clank.
A-Clank, one of them.
Yeah.
Wormspan.
Yes.
We talked about is what I would say is almost a reskinning.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's a more complex version of Wingspan. They call it a Wingspan game. So it's not quite like a second edition, right? But they took Wingspan, which is a game about birds and a card laying game. They took the mechanics and a bit of the theme.
Yep.
And made it into a fantasy themed game and just added a few rules to it.
Yeah, they've added rules. They've made the birds bigger. And made them dragons.
Yeah.
But it is just for the most part, reskinning with some fine tuning.
Things look very similar.
Yeah.
It's a bit more complexity added to the game.
If you weren't paying attention and walked by, you'd be like, oh, somebody's playing Wingspan.
Yeah. The box is meant to look like Wingspan, right? And the name is a pun based on Wingspan. So they didn't, unlike I'd say like Search for Lost Species and Search for Planet X. Search for Lost Species is pretty similar to Planet X, right? But they changed the theme enough that it feels like more of a sequel than it does a reskin.
Yeah, there are games that just come out with a new, prettier edition.
Yeah.
Castles of Burgundy.
Absolutely.
It was cleaner. It was, you know, they've done this a couple times. They did the base one, then they brought out the anniversary edition, which just was the complete edition. Now they did the fancy deluxe edition.
Yeah.
They added an expansion. Other than that, it's the same game.
Yeah.
Right?
Same thing for the Queen, the one I just mentioned. The art is basically the thing that's changed in it. And added cards, right? It's not much else. It's sticking with the vibe of that game already.
Yeah. Monday night at ToonCon, we were supposed to play Great Western Trail. I brought Argentina and New Zealand with me. They are spin or addition or different versions of the original mechanics. Argentina's a little bit more different. New Zealand's a lot more similar to the base game.
Yeah.
This is not an uncommon trend in board gaming. It's not an uncommon trend in movies.
Yeah.
Right? You know, redoing something happens. I looking at my shelves in front of me, I have Shipyard, which is the second edition of Shipyard. It's just prettier.
Yep.
Right?
Well, what was the second edition we always laugh at? Carpe Diem.
Yep.
Also got a second edition that was supposed to fix the art, and it didn't, but it did get one.
Well, it did three editions within a year.
Yeah.
Trying to fix the art, and still didn't.
So sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah. Garpil Games, a company that I follow religiously, they have Raiders of the North Sea. They brought out Raiders of Scythia, which is a retelling or redoing of Raiders of the North Sea, but they brought the expansions in instead of having to add the expansions and fine-tune the game a little bit. I have never played it because I don't like the art as much as Raiders of the North Sea.
Yeah. Talking about reasons why.
Money.
Well, okay, so yeah, money is the obvious one. We all know this. Money is the obvious one. People are going to absolutely create these games, or they're going to do second editions of games that might not be in print, and they're going to do a second edition so that they reprint it and people get the game they didn't have before. Yeah. Gloomhaven just did that. They just did a second edition. They did refine some of the rules, but that is also, you know, they brought the game out again as a second printing. But the other one is something like Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Right? Where, or what was not Mombasa?
Mombasa.
Sky Mines. They bring it out because the original theme had issues.
Yes.
This is a more recent phenomena
of
people realizing, hey, maybe we shouldn't make games that are just literally colonizing the real world. That kind of happened already. We don't need to make that a game. And so they're reskinning them or remaking them, changing the rules with the same name to make them a little bit better, right?
Yeah. You know, you can look at something like the Pandemic series, right? There's a bunch of games that are all based on the same mechanics with different themes for the most part.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't mind this. I don't buy a lot of second printings if I already have the base game.
Yeah.
There's some I will do if they've added stuff, right?
I was really tempted by the add-on pack for Gloomhaven because the faction sounded really cool, but didn't really need it.
Yeah. We may get back to this next week again.
We got talking about it.
Yeah. I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
Talk to you next week.
Have a good night.